And just for a few moments, you know, God has, and when you read the Bible, you'll find this out. There are certain things the Lord has set in motion. Let me use that. That are, we call them sometimes principles in any dispensation. And they're laws, just like the law of gravity. You can't change that. It's a principle that no matter what, you let go of something, it's the gravity. And God has ordained certain things. And that's basically what I'm wanting to talk to you about. In Philippians, you'll find that Paul joyed, and he had rejoiced over the way that the church at Philippi had supported his ministry and supported him. And he says this, and you'll find that's being the theme in the book of Philippians. Over and over, he talks about joy, rejoicing in what they're doing. So I want to talk to you about that. And every preacher, every teacher rejoices, and it's important to have what the Philippians had and how they treated Paul. I guess that'd be the word to use. Anyway, and Paul writes to them, and so in chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you are all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident." And by the way, verse 6 is probably one of the greatest verses that Paul's ever wrote as far as outside of Romans chapter 8. For eternal security, or as the so-called religious people like to say, once saved, always saved. That, you know, they talk, you believe that and all that. You talk to a biblical idiot when they start that way. Somebody says, "Oh, you believe in that once saved, always saved." Well, that's somebody that knows nothing about the cross. That's somebody that knows nothing about Pauline doctrine that God gave him for the body of Christ. Verse 6 is one of the greatest verses Paul wrote about that. Now look what it says. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And the day of Jesus Christ has to do with the day of redemption of Ephesians 4:30, the redemption of your body, and the day in Romans chapter 8 when he talks about the redemption of our body. And it has to do with us being glorified as the sons of God. Now, Paul said he's going to perform it. If he started it, he's going to finish it. And the finishing of it is that we're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. So if the Lord ever starts it, will he perform it? And it's not based upon what you do, think, or say. It's based upon his ability to do it. And if he started it, he's going to finish it. And there's nothing that can change that fact. So I guess I believe in once saved, always saved. But I want to talk to you about verse 5. Verse 5 talks about for your fellowship in the gospel. Now I want you to notice some things about God's order for the body of Christ. And so I want to start with the Lord starts out, and I'm going to put it up here, pastor. Starts out with a preacher, pastor, sometimes a teacher. We could put that up. But he starts out with a man. Now, if Joyce Myers is one of your favorites, you're in the wrong congregation. Or some of them other women. You say, well, what's wrong with them women? God didn't call them. I mean, there's no contradictions with the Lord. There are some principles, things that He ordained, and a woman preacher wasn't one of them. Now, you ladies have a ministry. You ladies has got a big ministry. And Paul talks about there was women who said, help me in the gospel. And so there is some a lot of things, and you can read that while you're there in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Philippians, while you're there in there. In chapter 3, 4, verse 3, he said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. See verse 3 there? Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Well, there was women that helped Paul in the ministry. Well, it was a comfort to Paul and supported Paul and backed Paul up. I remember one time when Paul was over there reading over in Acts 6, he goes down by the riverside and there's some women down there that is having prayer meeting, and he joins them, and he goes down there and the Bible said the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Well, you'll find that she takes them into their house and feeds them and gives them shelter. So you ladies have got a ministry. It's just not preaching or teaching the man. Paul talks about you teach other women, younger women. You know what's wrong with a lot of the young women today? They don't have no elder women teaching them. Oh, we just might as well just hit it all. Look what he says there in Titus. Turn over to Titus. If I didn't find it right quick, y'all see it? What is it? Yeah, 2, verse 3. Verse 3, that the aged women, now I don't mean old, you know, you gray hair and humpback and a cane, he was all about that. I believe it's adult women. That's just like, well, anyway. That the age, look what he said in verse 2. He said, the aged men be sober, grave, temper, sound in faith and charity and patience. That the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now watch it. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And man, that lays it down there pretty good. And so you got a job. You teach these younger women to be sober, grave, temperate, that the word of God be not blasphemed, that there be no reproach against the Lord. And folks, that's what it's all about anyway. Our life here on earth has to be about Jesus Christ, or it's no life at all. You understand? You can work your whole life. You can go to a job and look forward to retirement and do all of that thing. But in eternity, if your life has not centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get to eternity, you're not going to have anything. And the thing about it is that old saying, what you've done for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. And folks, if your life is not centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, then when you get to eternity, what? There ain't no getting out of that. You can get out of this life. You're going to die. You're going to leave this world. But there's no getting out of eternity. And what you get at the judgment seat of Christ as a member of the body of Christ is what you're going to have for eternity. Don't you understand that? You don't want to suffer loss. You suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, there's no gaining it back. You can lose money in your bank account, and you can work hard and gain it back maybe. And you can lose your house or your home, and you can go to work hard or something, and through circumstances, you might can gain it back, and you might build another home, and you might gain your wealth and your status back in this world. But bless your heart, you lose at the judgment seat of Christ. There is no gaining nothing back. It's about here. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. This church, this is just a building. God don't dwell in buildings made with hands. It's not about the building. It's not about the parking lot. It's about the Lord. If the ministry of this church is not centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no ministry at all. You have. Now notice this thing about what Paul says, fellowship in the gospel. And like I said, this is true and it's important for all the preachers, pastors. I want to show you something about the pastors before we get into that. Turn with me and look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Just go over. Look in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you, which are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now that last statement, and be at peace among yourselves, is very important. Paul said, those that labor among you and are over you. Now it says over you in the Lord. That's a spiritual rule. Look with me and turn with me to, let's try 1 Timothy. Just go over another one and look in chapter 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Notice verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. Look with me. Look back in chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, notice he's given the qualifications of a bishop. Verse 4, one that ruleth well of his own house. Notice verse 5, for if any man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? That's a spiritual rule. In other words, my job as a preacher, as a pastor, is to rule over you spiritually. Now, how do I do that? Well, turn back to Acts. Look in Acts. I'm not making this up. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look in verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Now, I don't rule over you physically, but spiritually, look what he said. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. And he's talking to the elders. He's talking to the teachers, the preachers there, the leaders. You know what an overseer is? An overseer is somebody that oversees something to make sure that it's done right. To make sure they have all the instructions. To make sure they know what they're to do and how to do it. That's the job of a pastor. That's what he does. He oversees the spiritual side of the congregation, the ministry of the church, to make sure that that church has the right instructions. To make sure that that place is run and the thing is took care of spiritually. You know what's wrong with a lot of churches today? Their people's not being fed. Their people are not instructed in the Lord. They're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because the Word of God is the only place you can get that kind of instructions, and it's got to be rightly divided. And so if people don't know anything about right division, and if they don't have a preacher to be over them, to rule spiritually over the congregation and giving them the instructions that they need to serve the Lord, then how in the world can they serve the Lord and have rewards at the judgment seat of Christ and to be rewarded by the Lord? There is no other way. Hence, there's a lot of people that's in the body of Christ that's just existing, thinking they're serving the Lord, and they're serving a denomination, or they're serving a system that's dishonoring to the Lord. One other passage about this. So, pastor, he takes care. Look in Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews. So he takes care of the church. And I'm talking spiritually. He has deacons. Deacons are servants. And them servants, they give him aid. And they sort of take care of the physical side of the thing. You know? And that's what you deacons, read it in chapter 3 there. You have about the same qualifications as I do. And one thing, it talks about holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. You know, one of the greatest qualifications of a deacon is to know what the mystery of the faith is. You know what the mystery of a faith is? You should. If you've been here all this time, you ought to know what it is. I ain't telling you. Hebrews chapter 13. That was what he said. Hebrews chapter 13. Look in with me. Hebrews 13, verse 7. These are the principles. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Spiritual rule. The one that speaks unto you the word of God. You get your instructions how to serve the Lord from him. You get the directions from him. From the teachers, the preachers, the pastors. Notice what he said. He said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Come down to verse 17. Watch this. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Not physically, folks, spiritually. You got to think spiritually on this thing. if I teach you the Word of God and you obey what I'm teaching you, you're not just obeying me, you're obeying that book. Am I right or wrong? Now, if I told you to go buy a pink Cadillac, and you say, well, I ain't buying a pink Cadillac, well, that's fine. You don't have to obey me in buying a pink Cadillac. We're not talking physical. We're talking spiritual. Now, look what he said. Obey them to have the rule over you for and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In other words, I, as a pastor, watch for your souls. I got to give an account what I preach. Every sermon that I preach, I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. I will give an account for the instructions that I preach out to you and lead you. I will give an account for you and your souls. Brother, if you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and I, as a pastor, did not teach you the word rightly divided, if I, as a pastor, did not teach you to follow Paul and did not teach you the way that the Lord would have me to teach, and you stand there and you don't get rewards, it's going to be my fault. You understand that? But if I teach you the word of God rightly divided, if I teach you to follow Paul, if I teach you how to serve the Lord and you rebel against it, then it's going to be your fault. If you cause grief, here's where it gets. Look what he said. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. I ought to be having joy. It ought to be joyous. Grievous for me, boy, it's going to be rough on you. Now, that's things that you can't do nothing about. Fellowship in the gospel. Number one, a church to have fellowship with his pastor must have a congregation believing what he preaches. Amen. Turn with me to Amos. Look in the little book of Amos. Now, Amos is back there in the Old Testament. You know, it's Amos, Obadiah. See, well, I read Paul. I don't go back there. Well, look in your front. It's got a page number of your Bible. It'll tell you where it's at. Go, I'm waiting on you. Don't be ashamed. A lot of times I have to do that still. I hear these little children, they've been taught the books of the Bible, and they just read it, rattle it off. Boy, I mean, it gets amazing. Go through all 66 of them. I can't do that. I've tried. I've been studying this Bible for 30-some years. I read it through several times every year. I can't rattle them all off. Can't do it. I leave out one. That's like Psalms 23. Everybody knows Psalms 23. I can't. Verses 3 and 4 trip me up every time. And I don't know how many times I've read that. So, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I got that part down. It's whether when he leads me beside still waters and feeds my soul. I can't get to. I never could get my New Testament. I'm 23, and to this day I still can't. So why am I telling you all this? Y'all there yet? All right. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Underline it. It's a principle, folks. Can two walk together except they be what? It's a question. No, they can't. If there's no agreement, there's no walking together. If there's no agreement, there's no fellowship. You know what fellowship is? Fellows in a ship. They're all going the same way. There's unity. No divisions in that boat. It's such unity that if one goes down, they're all going down. There's not half the boat going one way, another half going the other way. Going the same way. Unity. That's fellowship. Fellowship in the gospel. Number one, you've got to believe the gospel. I want people that know what the gospel is. I want people to believe the gospel. What is that gospel, preacher? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3 tells you that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that God raised Him the third day according to the Scripture. It's that Christ died for your sins. That's good news. So that's the gospel. Why does a church have to be in fellowship with that gospel? Because that's the only way people can get saved. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. So I start out with a preacher. He's got a message, and that message is, we call it the gospel. You know, if somebody run in back there, them doors, bust through them doors and said, "Hey, have you heard the good news?" What would be your answer? Huh? My answer would be, "What good news are you talking about?" Wouldn't it yours? Yay and nay. Now, how would I know what good news they were referring to? The gospel, the word gospel, means good news. Now, if they run through that door back there and said, "Hey, have you heard the good news that Christ died for your sins and was buried and God raised Him the third day?" I'd say, "Amen." Have you heard the good news? Gas prices is dropping. That's the gospel. I keep waiting on that message. But folks, that's not the message that'll save people's souls. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Talking about the body of Christ. And so, Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel. What is that gospel? Christ died for your sins. Isn't that good news, folks? It's the power of God unto salvation. How can I be saved? Got to get in that body. This is where you're saved at. It's in the body. It's in Christ. That's the body of Christ. Salvation's in that body. Eternal life is in that body. How do I get in that body? By the gospel. What is that gospel? Christ died for your sins. What do I got to do? Believe it. Look with me in the Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. By the way, this body is a body. It's a righteous body. Boy, that's something. Righteous. Look in Romans chapter 3. Notice what he said in verse, let's read verse 20, talking about the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law shows you what sin is. Thou shalt not. If you do it, that's your sin. The Bible says in John, sin is a transgression of the law. Amen? Okay. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is of Jesus Christ. And I watch. What? But there is no one other passage. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Well, folks, how do you get righteous? Get in the body. How do you get in the body? Believe something. What do you believe? The gospel, the good news concerning you. Christ died for your sins. You mean to tell me I can believe that, trust that, and God will save me? I mean to tell you exactly that. It's not hard. That's why Paul talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just got to cut in here. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now let me just stop right there. You know something? Every member of this body is to the praise of His glory. Not yours, not some man, but the Lord's. Amen? That we should be to the praise of His glory, first trusted in Christ. Now watch it. He also trusted through the gospel. Also after that ye what? Believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That sealing's in this body here. And God identifies you in His Son's body. And it's a body of righteousness. And it's after you believe. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy. Folks, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I told you wrong. Turn to 2 Timothy. Paul talks about his salvation. And this is not according to his works. Look in chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Who hath saved us? Well, let's go back. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The testimony of thy Lord had to do with what? To Paul. Nor me his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, Acts 26, Paul, to Paul. Of our Savior, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality and light through the gospel. It's through the gospel where I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now watch verse 12. For the which cause, because of all that I just read, for which cause I also suffer these things, never am not ashamed. For I know whom I have what? Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have unto him against that day. You know what the question is, your salvation? Have you committed your soul to him? And that's all it is. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe he went to the cross. I believe he suffered the spiritual pain. I believe he suffered the physical pain. I believe he died for a bride on our side. I believe if I was the only one in the world, he would have still went to that cross. He died for me, and God saw me on that cross, and I commit my soul based upon me knowing and believing that he died for me. I committed to him. And if that ain't enough to save me, I'm a doomed sinner going to bust hell wide open. That's right. What could I do that would trump that? Nothing. To have fellowship in the gospel is to believe what he preached and believe the word rightly divided. You're in 2 Timothy, look in chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, I want people to believe this book. Number one, I want people to believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I want people to be in agreement with me that believing the gospel is the only way for salvation. That's the power of God and the salvation. I want people to believe the Word of God rightly divided. I'd rather have the group that we got here right now. I'm talking about all of you. I'd rather have you and nobody else ever would come than to have 5,000 in a church that had religion that didn't believe this book rightly divided. Because I could not have joy. I'd have grief. Number two, I believe Paul joyed and rejoiced, not just because they believed what he preached, but they passed the message on. You know what fellowship in the gospel is? It's no more just believing it, but it's passing the message on to others. I'll just use the verse there in chapter 2 of Timothy. You're there. Look in verse 2. Well, let's go back to verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know what the Lord does? The Lord starts out with a man, and then he gathers people around him, other men that he's taught. and they start and they have a class, they have a church, they form that, and these people that's gathered around that pastor believe and are in fellowship with him on what he's believing. That's why you have an effective church. That's why you have an outreach. That's why you can serve the Lord in unity and have joy. That's what brings joy to my heart and to every pastor, every teacher's heart, is we're getting the message out. It's something to praise God for. The word is sounding out. Another passage. Look in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, notice in chapter Paul talking about in chapter 1. He talks about in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, from you found it out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Caia, but also in every place your faith toward Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Folks, people ought to know Charity Bible Church as a doctrinal church, as a church that preaches the gospel of the grace of God, not as one that bickers and bites like we hear about like once in a while, you know. And I thank God that we have a church like this. I thank God in heaven. Our focal point is the gospel. Amen. Isn't it good to come here and just relax and enjoy the Word of God rightly divided and not have to worry about other stuff? I believe that we need to get the message out. I believe that ought to be our primary goal. That's why we're working to get on the television. That's why we do what we do. Now, Lord willing, next week I want to continue with this, so put a bookmarker there, and after you don't show up, you're going to miss it. It won't be my fault. But I'm going to stop right there.